Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiya, before we get into this podcast, please consider joining us on Red Men Plus. We have tons of amazing content coming out every single day in both podcast and video form. So get over there and sign up today. Now back to your podcast.
Hello everyone, it's the build-up show. Yes, Liverpool playing another game of football, so excuse me while I plaster on a smile to hide my inner pain of Liverpool's campaign thus far and delve once again into some chat about the Reds. Jamie Cranford, John Machin join us for this one, who are only grateful in so much as they didn't have to do the final word show with me this morning. But we got through it, it was good. I felt a little bit more cleansed than I was, you know. It's often good for the souls event to get things out, so we had a good old time on the final word.
Can we do it again now then?
Let's do it again, because I think everyone needs it, and until Liverpool play games of football and win them on a consistent basis, we're all probably going to need a little bit of help with that. Yeah, so everyone welcome, join us in our nightmare. Liverpool have been a bit crap. Dad, the next three games starting with Wolves, huge. They're huge. They just are. I mean, let me just put this up front. There's a chance that this, if the Queen dies, apparently footy's, well, everything's going to stop for a few days, and there's a chance footy might, and sporting events are going to stop for slightly longer. So there's a chance this game actually doesn't get played. For people outside of the country or aren't aware of the impact that a monarchy can have on a society, that's a thing.
Has anyone told you UEFA?
Yeah, no, yeah,
that
yeah.
Should be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Yeah, they are. I'd said this prior to the Napoli game. Unfortunately, Liverpool got battered. They were crap. There's no escaping that. There was four big games that were going to define our, you know, the early part of the season.
That was a good start then, eh?
Yeah.
You'd be better off not doing that, Paul. You better stick to what's coming. Yeah. One game at a time.
No, I know. But the thing about Napoli is, and we said this at the time, This is not a remark on how we achieve that defeat, but we always lose in Napoli.
I expected us to get beat. I just didn't expect us to get beat quite like that.
The manner in which we did it was so terrible. But what I'm kind of driving at is that, look, that's done. That's in the past. It has to be, because that's how, you know, linear time works. Liverpool, I'm kind of running out of time and the running out of excuses. We're fortunate that City have dropped points, we're fortunate that Arsenal dropped points, for that everyone's got issues. Ours are very prevalent at the moment, but the Napoli game has to be a turning point if we're to have a season that's beyond fighting for fourth place. If we don't get our act together, it's going to be one that could even be worse than that.
Well, obviously, I mean, but it's easier said than done, isn't it, to say, to actually do something about it. Yeah. You know, I mean, clearly there'll be a desire to just have a knee-jerk reaction and leave, drop them all.
Yeah.
You know, and make some dramatic changes. But your injury issues mean that what you can do is very limited.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have cover for some key players. You don't have cover for Trent, for instance, who probably should be dropped.
Yeah.
You don't have cover for Fabinho, who probably should be dropped.
Yeah.
You know, so you know what it's limited what you can actually do. But also, we're playing a team who've got the best defensive record in the Premiership so far this season, and the worst attack, which would suggest that we're going to have to play a team that are 11 men behind the ball.
Yeah,
and your best players for doing that are the ones who've just had our worst performance in like 50 years in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you do? Play them again? Or drop them and bring in kids, basically, because that's all you'd be doing.
But we do this all the time. We've been here. We've been here, you know, and every football club has been here at one point or another, Jamie, where you do. And I had this a bit at half-time in Napoli, and I was just thinking, sack it off. Any of the kids on the bench, get them on. And that wasn't because I was like, these will do better than this shower of shite. It was more because the game's gone, let's just not worry about running anyone else into the ground. But what was telling was, they had to play Thiago, and they had to play Artur, and they had to play Jota, and they had to play Nunes, because these are the guys. These are the guys who aren't tainted by all of this. These are the guys who need minutes on the pitch to either gain understanding or gain match sharpness.
Yeah, I thought the same as you. I was saying, like, well, you know, we're not going to get back into this now. Let's just rest some legs. But yeah, I agree with you, John. It's hard to see where you go, because the games come so fast. You know, I know there's an international break in a bit, but it's normally around about now, isn't it, in a normal season, where is it, 2 week international?
It's normally the first week of September.
Yeah.
So the transfer window shuts, the last games are played, the transfer window shuts, and then you go on a week and two week international break.
And although a lot of our players will be going away, you could at least go, right, the brains trust can kind of get together and go, how are we going to sort this out? Because we're not having that again. But we've only got a couple of days. So it's. I thought Klopp's comments were interesting when he was saying about like finding a way to play. Or I can't remember exactly what he said. And I'm wondering, is that going to mean we've seen people saying, well, Jamie Carragher saying sack the high line off, or you know, seen people saying like change of formation, Bobby in a 4-2-3-1, all this kind of thing. Is he going to go through some of those options, or because we can't really. Maybe put Thiago in from the start. I don't know if he's fit enough to come in from the start. We can't really do it with the personnel.
What I was saying on the final word, that is the injuries. Look, everyone can see the injuries as a thing, absolutely. But you're at a point now where this idea of changing the system, you're running out of time. You know, you've either got to bite the bullet and change the system or not. And the contention that we haven't changed it is because I think they're waiting for players to come back.
Yeah.
But the players are back now. So if they're not going to make a drastic change to how they're doing things, then this is the last sort of chance saloon
for the way they're doing it. I'm not sure you need to change it dramatically and that change your whole system and change it forever.
Yeah.
At home, the high line should be fine.
Yeah.
We have conceded a few silly goals, but basically the high line works at home because we're attacking teams.
Yeah.
But when you go to somewhere like Napoli, it was just suicide.
Yeah.
Because they were just running from deep and going straight past us at pace. And we have no one with that kind of pace who wasn't flat-footed to begin with. Yeah. You know, Fabinho, who maybe should have been doing a bit more, really hasn't got the pace to catch anyone up who's on a run. I mean, apparently the Midlands papers are saying they've got to play Adama Traore because he's going to absolutely murder our back line. Yeah. You know, and you can understand why they would think that.
Yeah.
But at home, it should be less of a problem because we'll be doing all the attacking.
And, of course,
but certainly you've got to be sensible. If you're going to... You know, United, you're going to Napoli, you're going to Ajax. Sit deep, for God's sake, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You know, get a 0-0 draw.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that you're right, that's the problem with this is that Wolves are a bit crap, but they're not significantly less crap than we've been, and they're not Bournemouth. And Liverpool need a reaction. But in some regards, I wouldn't tear my nose up at another 9-0 reaction, but we don't need a 9-0 reaction here. What we need to do is to go and put a dominant performance in. And that is to say, or to show people that, okay, because they'll try the same thing that everyone else has been trying. It'll be two or three man, second and third man runners looking to play the ball over the top and looking to get bear down on the goalkeeper. To pass from deep, Liverpool need to show start to show that you can't hurt us that way. But there's been no evidence to suggest that they're going to cut it out. It got worse and worse. Like that fourth goal against Napoli is like the one of the worst, easiest situations that's ever been created against us. It was pathetically simple. But that's the I agree with that. But it's the devil in the deep blue sea. Would it be in a winnable game at home? Because we could go and win this one, but it doesn't necessarily prove anything. It doesn't necessarily solve any of our problems.
No, and if you look at what they've been doing, they've not had a great start of the season particularly, but they've got no forwards to play. you know, their star new buy did an ACL, didn't he? And that's why they're trying to bring in Costa, of all people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they've got a 1-0 defeat at Tottenham, and they probably would have thought, well, that's, you know, pretty close to getting a decent result. Tottenham, who've been, you know, pretty good this season, could only beat them 1-0.
Yeah.
That's how difficult it's going to be to beat them.
Yeah.
So we'll no doubt have possession. We'll probably have 60-70% possession.
Yeah.
But whether we could turn that into a goal or two, that's the key.
Well, the question then is, Jamie, is that, I kind of what we're saying here is, again, they are going to love to hit us on the counter. If they play Traore, yes, they will have that electric pace to burn. But we know what he is. Hopefully, he's enough and a known entity that we should know how to handle him at this point. But I suppose is this one of those games then where this isn't one of those ones that's going to solve your problems. This isn't one of the ones that's going to cause you to adapt too much. We'll know the challenge laid out in front of us. This is about getting 3 points. We're going to do the other Premier League fixtures later on, but, you know, City playing Spurs, there's a big opportunity for us to just start to wind in a couple of points here. It's not about how Liverpool perform necessarily in this one. It's about just get the win. Ajax will be the same, and then there'll be bigger challenges to follow.
Yeah, it kind of feels a bit like Man U the other week, where it was like just, what, by any means, win the game, and they've started putting a bit of form together now. Wolves feel like a decent team to play because with Traore accepted, they don't feel like, more touching wood's going to have to happen here, isn't it? They don't feel like the sort of team that can really hurt you. They always seem to be a team that don't concede loads, but they don't tend to score loads either.
Yep.
So, which might actually play into our hands in terms of I always remember like the classic Rafa press conference was we control the game, and it's like 2-0 against Blackburn Rovers or Bolton or somebody. We'd never beat them like 5-0. Well, we would occasionally, but it'd be a game where goal about half an hour in, you know, another one on about 75. You think we were just nice and just calm and we controlled the game, passing through the midfield, all of that. I'd like a game like that on Saturday, whether we're going to get it or not. But yeah, I think if I was Bruno Lage, I'd be greasing Traore up right now.
I mean, as well, instead of sticking him on the wing where you can actually just send him up blind alleys all the time, which is what we normally do, play him in the middle.
Yeah.
He'd be really dangerous coming up from deep.
Diego Costa could well be starting for them as well, which is going to be an interesting
one. That, would you?
I know, yeah, it definitely means that. Well, the thing is, everyone needs to wake up. Everyone needs a little bit of a rocket at the minute. The thing that's so mad about it is that it feels so imperceptible, you know, because maybe it's too simple to say, like, well, you can see the endeavour's not there or the passion of the work rate and stuff. It's mad though, because that's the thing that's most depressing about it, is that if it was crap players playing crap, then you kind of shrug your shoulders at it. But it's not.
We don't know what we're dealing with, do we? Yeah. Are we just playing, looking at a team of tired players who played a lot of games last season, haven't quite got up to pace? Or are we looking at a team in free fall? Well, not in free fall yet, but in decline.
Yeah.
You know, there's a team who played every game last season, but were knocked back in the two big tournaments, you know, and may now think, well, what can we do that would possibly get us any further, and start to lose that mentality of we can beat anyone.
Yeah.
And once that starts to happen, then they're in decline.
I'd wondered that same thing.
You know,
thing.
So, I mean, I've been defending the team all season so far, saying, you know, this is one of the greatest teams the world's ever seen. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to fail now. But you now begin to wonder, are some of them on the way down, and we need to start radically looking to
Liverpool look like a football club, and they're waking up with a hangover the next morning, and they find a photograph and of them with the hottest girl in the club, and they've got a phone number on a piece of paper, but they've got no idea how they achieve that. They know somehow it's capable, but they don't know how they go. What process did they follow to get to that? We nearly won the quadruple last season. How did we do that? They just look at odds with themselves, and this is my kind of point I'm just trying to bang home, and it's what's lodged in my brain on this is everyone's trying to find all these different reasons, and some people are being quite myopically focused on individual footballers. So we can sit here and go, Trent's been crap, Fabinho's been crap, Van Dijk's been crap, and then there's been additions above and beyond that, but I think they've been the three consistent culprits this season, and obviously Jordan Henderson was one of them, but he's now injured, so it's hard to say, you know, if he'd perform more, if he'd been available. But yeah, and you can focus on those individual performances, and you can look at like the system and the tactics, and you can look at all this stuff, but there is a reasonable chance that having gone so deep last year and all the physical knock-on and psychological knock-on, what they needed was a bit of rotation and the season started, and the injuries robbed them of that. But I don't know how that's recoverable. I don't know how you put that fire back in the bellies of lads and make them want to run a little bit longer and a little bit harder, because it's just come naturally. It's always come naturally to this squad. I mean, how you kickstart that?
Well, again, there's a problem with the squad, isn't there, to be honest? I mean, you've got no cover for Trent. You bought a very young Scottish guy who then isn't fit.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking on possibly Jimmy Milner covering for him, as he did in pre-season. Now everyone looks at Jimmy Milner and thinks, how the hell is he even walking on the pitch? Yeah. He's so terrible.
Yeah.
You know, how can he cover, you know, for anyone?
Yeah.
And you've got Traore, you've got Fabinho, who everyone last year was saying is the greatest holding midfield player in the world. There's no cover for him.
Yeah.
Absolutely no cover. And he's looking out on his feet.
Yeah.
So what do you, if you leave him out, we could leave him out this Saturday, but who plays in his place? And it would normally have been Henderson, mm-hmm. and Henderson's exactly. injured, so who do you go with
no,
next?
Exactly.
Thiago did it during the horror season when we had all the injuries, and he was terrible.
Absolutely rubbish at it. Yeah, no, I agree.
Nat Phillips?
No.
Put him there?
No, but honestly, I know, look, we're entering into the world where you start to say, and if no one's already shouted Matip at DM in the comments, then we're missing out. But like, it's where you end up with these mad conversations. But this is the thing about it. When people saying Bobby in the 10, 43 on Bobby in the 10, I know he'd done that previously, but he hasn't done that for like 6 years now.
Yeah.
You know, like Liverpool have worked because everyone, they're an oiled machine, and everyone knows their role, and they know it inside and they know everyone else's role.
Yeah, yeah.
When you start saying, let's play some other lad out of position, it's like there's two things that you know when you're fucked, is you say, play the kids because he can't be any worse than them, and you say, play some other lad out of position as though that's going to fix your problems. That never fixes your problems. Maybe like Brendan Rodgers is switched to a three at the back, and you might get a bit of juice on it. It's like the new manager bounce syndrome.
Yeah.
But nothing replaces being in rhythm. Nothing replaces technical proficiency and understanding.
That's why, you know, it's probably not sensible to change the way your system,
yeah.
because everyone in that team, not just in that team, the whole club, is practiced in that system. You suddenly change it to something else.
But the way the midfield functions has always been central to how we play, and more so now, because people talk about the high line. The high line is only the issue when you don't cut out the pass. And you cut out the pass by having midfield intensity, and actually intensity from the behind press from your forwards. Yeah. And particularly the midfield press has been non-existent. And you know it's non-existent because Thiago Alcantara stuck out like a sore thumb, like a brilliant, magical, gold-plated thumb when he came on against Napoli, because he was doing it.
Yeah.
He was doing the things that the midfielder meant to do, and no other figure has done it basically all season. So what it means is that we need to, it's not like just drop the defence deeper, it's about making sure we've got the lads who can perform that way. Otherwise, it is stupid. If you can't cut those passes down, if the lads you're going to feel don't understand it well enough to cut it down, then you're going to have to make a fundamental change to how you play, at least until you've got these lads. But at the moment, you're looking at it, Carvey's been good. I think he's been good on the ball.
Yeah.
I think he's good creatively. But is he fully up to it? I think he's not far off. I think Thiago's the star, but how many games are we going to get out of him?
Yeah.
Arthur's just started to play his first football of the season.
Don't even know what he can do and can't do.
No. This is my point on this.
You've got Cavalho to come in, I suppose, even though he's probably more of a forward than a midfield player.
But again, he's still getting up
to... He's full of energy, at least.
He's still getting up to speed on it all, though, isn't he? That's what I mean. This is why it's so... I'm not angry on this, Jamie. I'm just a bit sad with it all, because we're not, again, this is not like when Liverpool owned Philip Deggan and Christian Poulsen and Paul Konchesky and Milan Jovanovic, and you're like, oh, I hope these are good. Oh no, they're shite.
That photo's been doing the rounds the last few days, hasn't it?
But
that,
these are brilliant footballers. And they're playing shite.
Yeah.
And I'm prepared to look into why, rather than go, they just crap and they're not good anymore. Because people don't become bad footballers overnight, or even in that shorter space of time. But that's why I'm finding it so hard, is because there's frig all I can do about it. Because if on his day, Fabinho's, I think, is in the bracket of the best DMs on the planet. Yep. Trent's the best right back on the planet. Robbo's the best left back. Well, Van Dijk's the best centre half.
Bobby Firmino has been playing out of his skin for the last month.
But when they're not doing it, that's what I mean. It's like, it
says a lot that our best players have been the new guys. Diaz, you know, being superb. Harvey Elliott has been pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, after that, there's a big drop down to who comes next. Yeah, you know,
really is.
I thought Robertson's comments were interesting, where he was saying, you know, we've had a bit of your mate not backing you up, and I think, like, that's he's not naming names, but that's
he was screaming at someone in the middle of the game, wasn't he, about closing down gaps and stuff.
That's big when somebody's coming out and it's essentially one of the first 11 is saying some of the lads aren't doing their jobs.
This team has got the right ethic, and I was used to say watching Man United, I hated the way that, like, they spoke to each other on the pitch, and I like if someone tries something and gets it wrong, you know, it's always a bit of applause. Liverpool though were always too nice in the 90s. It was always a bit too much. Oh, never mind. Good luck. Try again next time. This Liverpool team finds the balance. It celebrates the wins, but if you get something wrong, they'll bollock you. And people can say about Jordan Henderson, people have been overly critical of Jordan Henderson, I think. Not to say he's had a great season, but I mean, people go too far with stuff, too far too soon.
Certainly missed him last night.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
But what he does, he never gives Trent a minute's peace. If Trent plays the wrong pass, and this is one of our best passes of the ball ever to play for the football club, but if he plays the wrong ball, Jordan Henderson flips on him all the time, constantly through gazes. It's hilarious that, you know, that they do this, but you need a bit of that. And this is the thing, the lads, like the senior lads, need to step up. They need to be the ones that Andy Robertson needs to be more vocal. If people aren't doing it, then keep doing that and keep people honest around you. Thiago Alcantara being back will help that, because he's the best footballer we've got, actual footballer, and he puts more effort in than anyone else. So he takes the Milner ethic, but he's actually world class of footy on top of it. That will help, but they've got to drag themselves out of it. You know, this is a bunch of players who need to figure their shit out, because you're right, that there's no help coming. The Calvin Ramsey's a child, and he's not had a single senior training session for us at this point. So he's not coming in anytime soon. Mm-hmm. There's no other DM ready in the wings, who's going to come. Even a bad Fabinho is clearly trusted beyond Stefan Bajicic to do that job on his own. So these lads are going to, I don't care, they're tired, and that's a consideration, but no one else is going to figure it out for them.
Jones and Naby aren't coming back anytime soon either, so you can't look to them.
Well, unless unless we'd suddenly become fans of the Guinea international team.
Yeah.
More on that on Jano Insight, by the way. Me and Neil Jones had a good old chat about Naby's international call up for Guinea and what the story is behind that. That's live on redmenplus.com right now. In terms of Bournemouth, and before we get too lost in our own cycle of misery, not Bournemouth, sorry, in terms of, let's just talk about Bournemouth.
We wish it was Bournemouth.
Let's just go and do Bournemouth again, shall we? In terms of Wolverhampton Wanderers. Well, there you go, actually, they've got one less point than Bournemouth, so that should be some form of consideration. But as pointed out, they're on a minus one goal difference compared to the minus 13 Bournemouth goal difference, which of course we're largely responsible for. But that's
They've said they've got the best defence so far, and they've got the worst attack.
Just 4 goals conceded, but just 3 goals scored in 6 games for Wolves so far. So yeah, definitely a potential.
And two
positive
of those goals, I think, were in the first game against Leeds.
Yeah.
So.
In terms of injuries,
I mean, I've just had, when you mentioned Bournemouth, I just realised that I sat here a couple of weeks ago and got that spectacularly wrong, saying how tough it was going to be to break them down.
Wolves impenetrable, no way we're going to get past Wolves, right, Dad?
Absolutely. It's a brick wall.
Let's try anything at this point. Francisco Tavares, Oliveira apparently ruled out of this game for them. Boubacar Traore, 50-50. Raul Jimenez has been rated as a 75% chance of this one. And Sasa Kaladzic has been ruled out as well for them.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I did a video over on my channel, Mates TV, about what's going on at Chelsea, and typically, you know, obviously Liverpool then lost, which makes it feel like real bitter ashes in my mouth to talk about it. But
bit of a poison chalice going there.
It is in a big way. I don't really know. I get what he's doing because his opportunities are going to be, you know,
money.
Eventually, yeah, exactly. But eventually, the Brighton thing is going to play its. Play itself out. They're never going to be more than. It's never going to be better than it is now for them. But to join at Chelsea when a season's underway and all the players are already in, and you've got it, there's always an expectation that your magic's got to work really quick there.
Doesn't feel a very Potter sort of situation to go into. Maybe he's going to get them doing ballet and all that.
Doesn't seem like a very Chelsea signing either, really.
Yeah, interesting. It feels very FSG. Trying to get Brendan Rodgers or Roberto Martinez in, where like a young manager, with a nice philosophy, and they're trying to restart, which I think is a noble ambition. Like, but he's got Aubameyang up front. Go ahead, sad. Right, okay. We'll have a little look at Liverpool's injury situation, which is sort of threatens to lessen and then gets worse. The Curtis Jones one is the weirdest one. Because Jamie obviously took his place on the bench for Newcastle, and then Klopp was saying like they thought the problem was solved, and then felt it again. He was then missing for the derby, and he's since addressed it. They don't really know what the return date is. He said it's not as severe as it was the last time, but it does speak to there's just something going on there that's a little bit out of their control.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for the lad, isn't it? Because he's quietly kind of becoming a bit of a treatment table specialist, isn't he? He had that eye problem last year. There always seems to be injuries where you go, oh, that'll be 2-3 weeks, and then
injuries, you know, no one ever heard of before.
Eight weeks later he's still out, and it's just, I mean, I think if everybody's fit he doesn't start, but it would have been nice to have him as an option at least, and you know, bit of dynamism in midfield,
games coming up. You need, he's an integral member of the squad, and you need it. But so we're one down.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Jordan Henderson's likely to be after the international break. It is, there's talk that Konate could be in around training from next week, which would be massive. Carvalho, the hope that he'll be available for the weekend. He got a massive dead leg. It was said on the 6th of September. He's walking around again. Might be ready for the weekend, but we're not absolutely sure. So he's rated as 50-50 for this one. And the big one is Naby Keita. Now, there's a chance this story will move on significantly in the coming hours. So, you know, I worry that we might date this ever so slightly, but at the moment it hasn't. You know, this morning, Guinea announced their international break squad. Naby Keita's in it. The last we heard from Klopp was he was out. He's not been named in the Champions League squad, which leads you to believe he's not going to be available till, you know, have any positive impact on that competition. And that is, it's like the first week in November that group stage ends. It's at the risk of riling ourselves up for no reason without the truth being known. If he's able to play for Guinea, that's going to be a huge shitstorm.
Yeah, I had a look. So there's the week those fixtures are for Guinea. There's four Champions League games after that. So you think you would include him in the squad if he could play four of the six games?
Yeah.
So it's definitely something, seems like there's something fishy going on. And because there was that German journalist, wasn't there, a few weeks ago, saying he's not happy, he's this, he's that. And, you know, they didn't sell him in the... I was wondering if Klopp's turnaround of, you know, you guys were right, we do need another... I wonder if that was linked to the Keita thing, but then we've kept him. That last transfer window was the last opportunity we could get a fee for him.
Yeah.
So
it's strange, it is, because if he wasn't going to play for us, you'd sell him. But you wouldn't sell him if he didn't think he'd get a replacement in time. But at least you'd have the body you could play.
Yeah.
The fact that he's not playing is really strange.
Yeah.
But it does suggest that all talk between the player and the club has broken down.
Yeah, if that's the case. And look, it might be a case that, you know, we again, I had a good chat, and more than we can cover here time-wise, but me and Neil Jones on Journal Insights did a big old chunk on this. And, you know, there's a chance that it's just an oversight. I mean, he pointed out that Thomas Partey's in the Ghana squad, is it? And he's currently injured for Arsenal. So there's a chance that they might just call him up to take him away. You know, Liverpool have been taking players on, you know, to football matches who aren't fit to play in football
England
matches.
Do take players who are injured, don't they, check them out themselves?
Yeah. So it might not be anything. It's just this is the problem, and some of this is Naby's making, and some of this is the result of how Liverpool have kind of publicly spoken about it to some extent. Is that, and everyone loves a good.
I remember Klopp's famous: if you're not prepared to push the train, you know, blah yeah. blah blah. Maybe he decided Keita wasn't prepared to push the train,
and that's the mad thing. But we saw this with Coutinho, where Coutinho obviously spatters dummy out, you know, wanted to move. Liverpool said no. This whole fabricated back injury thing kind of was concocted to get through the transfer window. But then Coutinho comes back into the side, and it's mad that he's either injured. This is the point. He's either injured or he has completely and utterly burned his bridges with Liverpool.
Yeah.
And that's the most worrying thing on this. And the Guinea call-up thing, unfortunately, lends itself more to the latter rather than the former, because until we can see him being unequivocally written out of international duty, or we get a return date for him or a clearer prognosis on him, because of what all of you mentioned, Jamie, we can't help but think, oh, there's probably a problem.
They would have seen this coming, though, if he wasn't really injured. Like, oh, by the way, Guinea have got a game in a couple of weeks, so it's, yeah.
This would be a major story, except there's so much else going on at Liverpool at the moment that it's minuscule, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, some big decisions facing Jurgen Klopp then in terms of selection at the weekend. Let's talk about the personnel things. Thiago, he looked fit, Dad. He looked sharp. He elevated everything we did.
He's our best player.
Yeah. They need to play him in games of football. That's just how it is. And we unfortunately can't worry about. He's not going to play every game now between the end of the season now and the end of the season. But it's like
if you get an hour out of him, fine. Yeah. You know, bring someone else on. Bring Coutinho, Cavalio on, and or bring on Arter, whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree on that one. I just don't. We're in a situation where he has to play, because we're just such a. There's no one even close to his quality and who plays in that position.
Yeah, I'd definitely get him in if. You know, the sports science team say it's okay, and he did look he's obviously a cut above in terms of quality, but even in the way he was getting about the pitch,
he was throwing tackles in as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't as if he was half.
We're all gonna have a heart in our mouths every moment he's on a football pitch, but then
forever. But that's the way
it feels like. It's now's not the time for the well, we'll be conservative because in 6 months' time we'll make these points up. If we get too far behind now, we're not going to make the points up, so we've just got to start winning games our best team.
I agree, and you know, and then you've got to trust you trust your other lads. You deal with it down the line, put your best foot forward and see what needs to happen as you progress. Fabinho, a bit of a tricky situation for him. I just don't see a world where he's not starting games of football.
Who would take his place? I just can't imagine.
It's that, exactly. You're left with putting a square peg in a round hole or a kid. And this is where we're at. Every game is too important. This is how we ended up in 2021, where Tsimikas gets nowhere near the pitch because he's fit, he's available, and we now know he's a good footballer. But Klopp has to double down on the lads that he knows and can trust, because those marginal gains of being embedded in the side were worth it over the gamble of putting someone else in. And it's Wolves at home. There's no reason why on paper you couldn't have started James Milner in the DM with Thiago and Elliot, say, just for the sake of it. If you'd won every other game prior to that, we wouldn't even bat an eyelid at that in this game. But this is where we're at. Liverpool need 3 points, so you've got to turn around to Fabinho. I mean, I might be saying to him, mate, do us a favour and tackle someone today. You know, that'd be a good start.
Yeah.
Or go and give us 60. Go and give us everything you've got for 60 minutes, and you're like, 45 minutes, whatever. But that's there's not really a vast amount of choice on that, is there? The one that I guess is like most likely to come in, Jamie, Matip. I felt sorry for Gomez in the week. He had a bad game, but yeah. I think his head got away with him. I thought he was actually doing all right, but one mistake led to leads to three mistakes, leads to a hook and a half time.
Yeah, once he'd made a couple of errors, I mean, it's a bit like that Lovren thing when Lovren got hooked, he put him straight back in, didn't he? Yeah. But we just looked so much more assured with Matip there. Yeah. And Matip was brilliant last season. And I personally would put Matip back in for this. And then you could... I mean, I wouldn't necessarily have Gomez at right back, but I'd rather have, if, say, Trent comes off on 60, which he has been doing on occasions, I'd rather have Gomez there than Milner at this point.
Yeah, I'm not against that as an idea of Gomez getting another run.
I think if we weren't playing at home, I think Gomez would be the shout. Yeah. But you're playing at home against a team who you're probably going to have most of the ball and you're going to be attacking. Trent is the guy, isn't he? Gomez, if we're going for a going to be tricky away game and we need to hold the defence solid, but that's not this weekend, I don't think.
The other one, which falls into the same problem really, is Diaz. I mean, he wasn't brilliant for the entire game. He definitely got better in the second half. Again, we've seen a little bit of that lately, but he's our most dangerous all-round
threat. And he doesn't
threat.
Look tired. He doesn't look anything.
To be fair, he looked like he wanted to curl up in a sleeping bag at Goodison Park in the last 20 minutes. Yeah. And he was ruined at the end of that game. But, again, he's brilliant, but he's played loads. And there's maybe something here where do you give Jota 60 minutes or whatever off the left, start Nunes potentially? Salah will come back in. He's had a little bit of
again, we've got games coming thick and fast, and with Ajax coming... three or four days later, Jota is going to be, invaluable at some point in those games.
Jota needs to take that next step, doesn't he?
Yeah, is it this game or is it Ajax? And it probably won't be both.
Yeah.
Which one do you want him in, I personally would have Jota coming on late for the impact, and I'd give him the full game against Ajax.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Hello everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. While I've got you here for a minute, let me tell you about Redmen Plus, our amazing subscription service dedicated to all things Liverpool. Over on Redmen Plus, you will get access to the best premium content, including more podcasts that you'll enjoy. You'll get access to exclusive merch discounts, and you'll even get access to our very own Discord server and Facebook group. There's so much more to offer. To find out more, head over to www.redmenplus.com and get your subscription. Nice one, and let's get back to the show.
Let's talk about the 11 that Liverpool are going to put out for this one. Dad, what 11 would you like to see us go with this time around?
Alisson.
If you could just pull your mic up.
Oh, yeah.
Back in.
Oh. Alisson.
Yep.
Trent.
Yep.
Matip.
Yep.
Van Dijk. Mm-hmm. Simikas.
Ooh.
Which made a stupid mistake there. I put the wrong
should have discussed this. The pride of the Redmen guests.
Fabinho, Thiago and Elliot.
Yep.
And I'm going Diaz, Nunez and Salah up front.
Okay. Any differences there?
I had the exact same, but Robertson. But I wouldn't mind Simikas in there. Either or.
I was just thinking of his crosses being better with Nunez on the
with
pitch.
With Nunez in there, yeah.
That's interesting. The thing with Robbo for me is that you look at how he's talking about the game post-match, as we've already referenced. He's just... It's his consistency and it's his determination. I just think this is one of those games where... I know we've got these lads who are the standout performers and, the youngsters or whatever... And everyone loves Kostas. I think he's terrific. I wonder whether this is a game where you ask them all to go again.
There's obviously that. Yeah.
And not with the exception, I think, of Milner, where Thiago just needs to come back in because he's too good to not play.
Yeah.
Milner does not start games of football for Liverpool that are important games by choice. He's there as a squad rotational option. So I would bring Thiago in, and then the only other change potentially. It would be one of the front three, and it's whether we think Jota is ready. I wouldn't be against starting Jota up front.
See, I think we bought Nunez for this kind of game.
Yeah.
To be in the box causing totally different problems than the rest of Liverpool's forwards. And therefore, getting the ball into him is what's key, which is why I'm thinking Simikas rather than Robbo.
Yeah.
But, and Robbo obviously would come straight back in for the Ajax game.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're not going to play Nunes in a game like this, I'm not sure when you're
well,
playing.
Yeah, I suppose that might again, just to cut my thinking on it, is with the Jota stuff, is I think he needs to make that next step up now. He's done a couple of little sub appearances, give him 60 and put Nunes back to being that, like, I think they'll work one way or the other, if I'm being perfectly honest. Yeah, but it's which order you want to do. Do you want the on the ground trickery of Jota, or do you want the battering ram style thing of Nunes to wear them down? Kind of not bothered one way or the other, but I just think Jota's just better than him, and he's more of a goal scorer as well. It's still a bit of a Hail Mary thing chucking Nunes on in games for me, and I still think he's more suited to the defence is a bit tired. You know, we're looking to break the game down. You know, does the gap start to open where you can find a bit more space for him, and he's likely to get a few more shots off? I don't know. Let us know what you're doing in the comment section. Not right now. If you're doing anything filthy, don't tell us that. That's none of our business. But what you would do for the 11 would be absolutely great. Let's have another little look at the Premier League fixtures for this weekend, then, as soon as I find them. The big one that everyone's going to have their eyes on, of course, is going to be the Manchester City game. You know, probably if we don't win, it'll be for the last time this season we'll care about that. But 12:30 kickoff at Fulham. Chelsea travel there under new boss Graham Potter. It would be lovely, Dad, if the teams that have taken points off us this season could actually take points off other people. Other teams, yes.
I always think that, but yeah, it's a bit like the well, not like it is the new manager bounce thing, isn't it? So Chelsea have given themselves every chance of overcoming the energy that Fulham brought to the game against us.
Yeah,
West London derby.
It is indeed. Yeah.
Most middle class derby.
It would be lovely.
It's going to be like La Bombonera in Cottage.
Yeah.
Fulham are being decent. So I'd still, if I had to put my house that I don't own because reasons,
yeah,
on it, then I'd say Chelsea, but Fulham are being decent.
It wouldn't be, you know, again, maybe it's one of those games where Chelsea show loads more energy because the new manager, but they're still a bit crap, and Fulham can take something off them. That would be splendid. Could you do that, please, Fulham? Bournemouth, Brighton, I mean, wow, that's a nice sunny south coast derby there. Absolutely. Yeah,
I'm sure Brighton will have a lot.
The Adam Lallana derby.
The Adam Lallana derby, yeah. Southampton, Brentford. Of course, us Wolves is at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Leicester, Villa. That is a huge game. Huge game.
Absolutely.
Steven Gerrard could put paid to his former man, the man who put paid to him at Liverpool.
Yeah.
That'd be quite funny if he did that. Man City.
I mean, Rodgers can't be long for this world, can he?
I mean, not like
in a footballing sense. Like, yeah,
he's not on the roof.
Yeah. City host Tottenham Hotspur.
Going to lose our royalist fan base.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to. Look, I don't. Look, sorry. Sorry. Bring me back. I just want to identify with this. I no ill feelings. No one wants to see any human being. Guys, she's not a bad person anyway. She perform. I'm just not a royalist.
Are you going to lose our Republican fan base?
Someone's nan, isn't it? That's sad. Man City host Tottenham Hotspur half five on Saturday. That's the one where Liverpool need 3 points tied up, Dad, because Tottenham have got a good record against Man City. Those records eventually come to an end, but it'll be a blood and thunder game. Both of those teams
are a better side than they've been for a while, Tottenham.
Yeah. They're two teams that are most likely to finish in the top four, and that's where we want to be.
And City do tend to lose and drop points against the same teams year after year after year. So.
Yeah. Particularly Tottenham. This is the only one that's consistently true.
Crystal Palace.
They tend to go in cycles with the teams, don't they? So like Southampton will cause them problems for a bit, and then they'll fix that, and then Wolves cause them problems for a bit, and they fix that. Yeah. Norwich, that, but you're right, Palace is a couple of seasons on the bounce, and Spurs now for a number of years have had their number. It is at the Etihad, which is obviously plays in City's favour, but right, if Spurs can just do us something there, and now just in terms of where we sit in the league table right now, Tottenham played six on 14 points, the level on points with Manchester City. So again, I think we would all expect City to stretch their legs at some point during the campaign and go top.
Yeah.
So it's the lesser of two evils is seeing Man City drop the points as far as we're concerned, because we know how the season's going to shake out. But we need to make this just an enjoyable game of football, Jamie. Get the Wolves win by the hook or by crook and put our feet up and enjoy it.
Yeah, ideally. I could see Spurs doing something there, a good performance by Kane, but then Haaland is looking a bit Nordic Terminator at the moment, isn't he? So I hope Spurs have got a plan for him.
Did you know we've conceded the same amount of goals as Man City this season in the league? I thought does that feel like a weird stat?
They
feel like
they conceded two against Palace and three against Newcastle, didn't they?
One goal scored against us in games, don't we? Which isn't so it's not up to a lot.
No, I know, it's just funny, isn't it? Like, you know, then they've scored five goals.
Unfortunately, Napoli don't play in the Premier League.
Massively. But that's the thing that's worth pointing out, sort of just on that, is that the Champions League stuff, and emotionally it's all bundled in together as fans, and a bank of form is a bank of form, but like being the Champions League, hopefully it's just something you can kind of like, you step off the plane, close the plane door behind you and go, right, that was Europe, that's put that to rest for the moment. It being two home games back to back is a big one for us, because as we said before, there's problems to solve, but those problems are less pronounced at Anfield than they are when we're on our travels. And if you can just get through this next week, get our campaign back up and running, that'll be absolutely fucking magic, to be perfectly honest. Everton travels to Arsenal on Sunday. The Ev still not exactly, you know, right of their season just yet, despite the fact that they obviously won 0-0 with us last weekend, which they were all made up with, which is a shocking that you can feel like you've got 3 points from a draw, but such is life. West Ham host Newcastle, Crystal Palace host Manchester United. That'll be the game that the Ten Hag hits his first speed bump, by the way, just pointing that out to everyone. Leeds host Nottingham Forest as well. I'm really missing Nico Williams. Not that he's been absolutely magnificent for them, but like,
he would have been really useful.
He'd have played so crazy for us this season already. Okie dokie, let's have a quick check through. I want to know then, score predictions, Dad, what do you think it's going to be?
Oh, I'm going big. I'm going 3-0.
3-0, Jamie.
I'm going 1-0 to Liverpool. Somehow scored by Divock Origi. don't know how, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. I, you know what I want? I'm not. I said this before. I'm not going to tear my nose up at another Bournemouth 9-0 style win.
Yeah.
But I would be here for us making Wolves utterly toothless for 45 minutes. Them not having a single sniff. Not a single sniff.
Yeah.
But us just holding the ball, knocking it round, probing. If we score, we score. But then in the second half, just winning 2-0 in the second half. You know what I mean? Just and fairly routine. Like in the first 10 minutes of the second half, and then put it to bed in the final 10. Yeah. Just a nice win of football would be fine. And then do the same to Ajax as well.
Yeah.
That would be absolute. And if no one else can get injured in the meantime, Liverpool. Don't know how. I don't. Maybe I know you. We all think they think this, but I'm at this point where maybe it just needs me to say it. Like, because maybe they don't know. Maybe they just need me to say, just stop. Liverpool players, stop getting injured. Just stop it. Be fitter. Try harder.
Do it for Paul. Go on.
Do it for me. Do it for me. Do it for everyone watching at home. Do it for these guys. Yeah. If you're listening at home, if you're watching at home, do it for them.
That's have an extra ice bath this weekend.
Yeah, whatever. Just, get to bed earlier. You know what I mean? Have an early night. Stop watching box sets. Watch films instead. Start early. Learn this. Watch a film. It's got a nice beginning, middle and end. Nothing wrong with doing a film in multiple sittings if you want to as well, by the way. You can start. Do the first hour one night. Get a nice early night. Watch the second half the night after. I know it feels like an ancient thing to do, but honestly, just... You know, you're all Liverpool players, there's a lot of years as you're getting into your 30s now. You've got to make some lifestyle choices if you want to get the most out of your lives. Like me, that's human temple here. Like,
say, that's my problem, right? Yeah. Really, me.
Jesus Christ. Right, cool. Loads more from us to come. Watch along at the weekend. I mentioned Journo Insight with Neil Jones as well. Really, really good stuff. We were chatting about the Naby Keita stuff. We were chatting about why Mateusz Mazurowski's not even made the Europa, the Youth League squad, and the fallout from the game as well. So if you want to get a journalistic insight into what's going on in and around Anfield, then yeah, me and Neil Jones on Journo Insight on redmenplus.com. Jürgen Klopp's press conference is tomorrow. Chloe will be doing the reactions to that on Plus as well. So if you want to know
what time is
Jürgen's on about, that's a great question, Dad. And you know, if you'd teed me up with that question,
could have had the,
before the show, I'd absolutely been able to find an answer out for
I
you.
I didn't know. I didn't read the agenda. I didn't know you were going to say that.
No, that's fine.
I just want to know because I want to see it.
I'm going to say 1:30. It's a complete guess. No idea. But honestly, we'll have it. We'll have the press conference for you, but also Chloe's doing the press conference reaction video and in podcast form on Plus. Loads of Boss content. I know it's shit at the minute, it is, but if you want people to help guide you through troubled times, we've literally been doing this. This is our 13th year, right? So for those of you who are new to this, 13 years ago, Liverpool, we started up, Liverpool sacked Rafa Benitez, yeah, our European Cup winning, FA Cup winning manager, who was the most beloved thing we'd had basically in the managerial hot seat since Kenny Dalglish. We had Roy Hodgson, who was awful, and he bought awful players, and we were awful, and everything about it was awful. And then we got Kenny back in, it was great for a bit, and then that fell to shit. And then we got Brendan Rodgers, and that was good, and then that fell to shit. We've been through it all. We know how to guide people through troubled times. A lot of people haven't maybe experienced it. If you've only supported Liverpool in the last 5 or 6 years, that's cool. You've got to come to it at some point. But if you're not handling Liverpool not being the best team on the planet very well, then come and join us for more Red Men content. Yes, because we're very good and very experienced at Liverpool being shite. They've been quite shite for a lot of my life. So yeah, we'll get you through it. Right, gents, thank you. An absolute pleasure. We will see you all at the weekend for the game up the Mets. If you want more, an extra Red Men podcast each and every week, but you're unsure what the best platform for it, well, the best platform is, of course, redmenplus.com. But if you are absolutely married to Spotify, if you cannot live without Spotify in your life, you can get the Red Men Plus podcast there now. Simply search for us on there, sign up through there, and you'll be able to access all of the new weekly podcasts from Red Men Plus directly in your Spotify app.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.